Themes and Trends in Beer and Food Pairing, featuring Jared Rubin, head pub brewer at Goose Island Beer Company in Chicago, and Chef Sean Paxton, acclaimed homebrew chef from Sonoma, California. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Carolyn Smigowski, the Beer Fox, the editor of Beer and Brewing at Bella Online and a freelance beer journalist. I'm here on behalf of the Brewers Association, which is the trade association for craft brewers nationwide. The Brewers Association also presents craftbeer.com, the World Beer Cup and Savor, an American craft beer and food experience in Washington, D.C. This is the 29th annual Great American Beer Festival, where 2,200 beers are available for you on the floor tonight. So be sure to check out also the dynamic Support Your Local Brewery Pavilion presented by craftbeer.com. Podcasts of these presentations will be available at craftbeer.com. Our chef tonight has been coupling complex beer with food since the mid-90s. He's a home brewer himself, hailing from the craziness that is California, and travels the country creating beer dinners that live forever in the minds of those lucky enough to be his guest. In 2008, he created the first really over-the-top Belgian-inspired beer dinner at Ebenezer's Pub in Lobel, Maine, where he served 11 courses paired with more than 15 beers. As if that weren't enough, he turned heads as executive chef for the biggest beer dinner on record. This year's 2010 World Beer Cup dinner, where 2,000 people were served five-course dinner that consisted of 10,000 plates, 600 gallons of beer for the pairings, 200 gallons to cook with, 80 gallons of wort, 90 pounds of hops, and there was food too. Check out his new show, The Homebrewed Chef, with Sean Paxton, once a month on the Brewing Network. May I introduce executive chef Sean Paxton. The second piece of our dynamic duo might well be called the King of Collaborations at Goose Island Beer Company Clybourne, located in the heart of Chicago's lively Lincoln Park. A graduate of the CIA, that's the Culinary Institute of America, this head brewer worked early on as a chef from the kitchens of Per Se in Manhattan Island in New York City, to Coleto and Humphrey's Martini House in the heart of the Napa Valley in California. While at the Martini House, he came to the Siebel Institute in Chicago for a course in brewing technology and found people who were passionate about brewing in a way he had never seen before. He brings a chef's palate to brewing and has created a number of collaborations with specialty foods, including maple bacon stout, his Rhine Grind beers using crop-to-cup organic coffee beans blended with Goose Island liquid inspiration stout. He created a shaved ice wort with L2O's Laurent Gras and a spice ale called Pousse Convie with executive chef Paul Mirat and staff from V. Please welcome Goose Island head brewer, Jared Rubin.
Well, thank you all guys for coming. First of all, cheers. Really appreciate you guys coming out. Hope you guys are having a good day. We're going to talk a little bit about flavors. It's interesting because both Jared and I are brewers and chefs. And it's really interesting because the more we started to think about flavors that we find in our food, we really wanted to see them expressed in our beers as well. And if you start to actually add those same flavors into your beers and then cook with them and use a beer as an ingredient, you actually really start to get a whole nother layer of flavor and complexity. And I'm hoping that with you guys being here today, you'll be able to actually have some samples and actually see what this is all about. Now, what's really kind of fun is that when you really start to think about beer, right, there's a lot of flavors, especially with malt and hops and yeast, and depending on the beer style, but then what you do with it as far as, you know, playing up that style and what ingredients you start adding, you can really start changing how in which all the flavors will actually hit your palate, and also later on, one of the beers that Jared makes, how it plays with your palate in a lot of different ways. So Jared, let's talk a little bit about flavors and beers.
Well, first of all, thank you everyone for coming. We really appreciate it. So everyone has Say Shanty in front of you, right? First thing.
What do you guys think? You guys like it?
Delicious. All right, well, I have to give a big shout out to Rod Marcus and Chuck. Rod provided the tea for this. The thing is, we hear so much about tea beers today. When we sat down and we said, hey, we'd like to make a tea beer, we really wanted something that was aromatic. We wanted that aromatics to also go into the flavor as well. So after doing what they call a cupping, which is a tasting of many teas, we decided on Emperor's Lemon Meritage. And this, for me, wasn't just a one-dimensional lemon, a lemon tea. This had so many different flavors, so many different aromatics. We wanted layers. And I think that's for me, as a brewer, I want you to taste the beer, and I want you to taste it and get something different every single time. So then it actually layers, and we have what is called like a really long finish with the beer. And for Say Shanty, which is a play on a saison, a summer shandy, and then obviously tea, that did it for me.
So, well, and one thing I find is that when you taste this beer, it's not just lemonade. There's a lot of complexity. There's a lot of different notes of lemon, as well as with a little bit of bitterness. And we're actually talking about this morning. When you brew tea, there actually is some astringency. And astringency can also come from hops and also depending on how you brew. And what's kind of fun is that it kind of cleanses your palate and it really plays up that saison style. So I wouldn't just add lemon to any style of beer. I like that you actually picked the saison with its spiciness and its dryness. And it's a great medium to really showcase some of those other things, especially using the Citra hop and the Sriracha Ace hop, which, again, are wonderful flavors of lemon.
You know, absolutely right, Sean. We all hear about Sriracha Ace. Not only is it it's a trendy hop right now, but everyone says lemon. It's pure lemon peel. The thing is, when used with Citra hop, which has that such a pure citrus note, the two just bring everything together. So Citra hop, Sriracha Ace, with this Emperor's Lemon Meritage tea, was one of those beautiful marriages. And the Saison yeast just brought everything to life. So were we delightfully surprised when we created this beer? Yes, we knew it would be good. We didn't know we'd get the aromatics that we achieved with this. And we didn't know that would translate into the flavor as well. And for me, creating a beer like this and the beer you have after this, the Sergeant Peppercorn, this is a food beer. And a lot of times we hear about food wines like Chiantis and whatnot. This is a food beer. When you taste this goat cheese tart that Sean brilliantly made, you'll understand that it's that sriracha, those hops, and the tea really cut through the fat of the goat cheese.
So the tart that's actually being passed around right now to you, there is some recipes that you guys can actually get, as well as these recipes will be online at craftbeer.com. The idea with this particular beer was knowing the lemon flavors and the complexity that it really brought, and to really kind of play up some of the, it's not sour, but yet lemon lends itself to being sour, since that's how we kind of associate it in our mind. And we really need to rethink, when we taste a flavor, whether it's in a beer or in a dish, how we perceive it. Does it bring back any memories? Is there like a child lemonade stand? I mean, all these different things. And so if you really start to think about lemon, and then you start to pair that with a goat cheese, which has its own unique tartness, as well as some creaminess in it as well, we really wanted to showcase that lemon and goat cheese mix and kind of almost do kind of a savory, like, cheesecake, but not necessarily being, you know, as rich and heavy. So we lightened it up actually by using beer in both the crust as well as the actual filling. And then the sauce to go with it kind of, again, showcases that really fine line between savory and sweet by using Turkish apricots but using some caramelized shallots as well as this great beer to really add the body and the depth, really, again, re-showcasing the combination of lemon and apricot, the lemon and the goat cheese, and then the lemon and the crust. And all those things together really create this tart, which I really wanted to be, you know, this would be great as an entree with a nice salad next to it, or even as an entree, or I'm sorry, an appetizer, so that you can actually have something that kind of cleanses the palate. Are you enjoying it so far? I know you guys don't have it yet. It's coming. It's coming.
Yeah, I apologize.
You guys over here enjoying it?
Drink
good. So this is what's fun with cooking with beer. It's not just adding a can of beer. It's really looking at the beer as an ingredient. And when Jared and I started to talk about this, just like I do all my beer dinners, you know, I really wanted to know a lot about the beer, how it was brewed, all the information about it, and then taking that information and actually designing the recipe around it. And when you guys cook at home, you guys, show of hands, how many people actually cook with beer? Yes! So this is what's great, is because if you start to look at the flavors that beer brings into a dish, it's not just bitterness, it's not just maltiness, it's not just sour, it's not just sweet, and, you know, it's all these different things together. And, like, the beers that we're drinking, especially out here, you know, in this great pavilion with all these just wonderful beers around us, all these beers are balanced. We want to do the same thing with our food, is that if we think about the balance that we created in the beer, why not do the same thing with the food? You know, we don't want it to be so bitter we can't eat it, or we don't want it to be so sweet that it hurts your teeth and it's like, too much. To find that balance is really important. And that's where when you cook with beer, to really stop and think about all the unique things. Now, one of the things I think that's been really neat with what Jared's been doing is he's actually been working with a couple pretty famous chefs right now. One is Top Chef Master Rick Bayless, as well as Graham Elliott from Master Chef. He's actually created a couple beers. You want to talk about that real quick?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the great thing about Chicago and Chicagoans is they love beer. Clap your hands with that. And the thing is, it doesn't matter what restaurant you cook at. It doesn't matter how expensive it is. At the end of the day, those chefs are drinking beers. They're not drinking Cabernets or Burgundies, you know? They're having a nice beer, something refreshing, a palate cleanser. And what's really been a treat for me is working with local Chicago chefs, Rick Bayless, Graham Elliott, Paul Kahn, and having them actually come in the brewery, design recipes with me, and create the beers with me. So not only is there a sense of ownership, but they really get to see how similar our professions are. You know, brewing is very, very similar to baking. You've got raw ingredients. It takes time, it takes patience, you have to be meticulous. But at the end of the day, we get something that's incredibly delicious. You get instant gratification by looking at people. And you know, one of the chefs told me, he said the only difference between what you and I do is you get to intoxicate people. I said, you're right.
That sucks, doesn't it?
At least I know when I'm doing a really good job. People are stumbling out of the club. So it's really been creative for me because as a brewer, it allows me to think outside the box. As far as what ingredients I could use, because as a chef, the sky's the limit. I mean, you go into their spice cupboard, you know, you look at what roots they're using, and they have no limitations. They have a direct connection with all the farmers. So basically, it's the best of all worlds. So bringing them into the brewery, not only do they get to get out of the kitchen, but they get to use their favorite ingredients, and they get to brew. So I think
And here's the thing that I always find really interesting is that the more brewers I talk to, the more I see a symbiotic relationship when it really comes down to flavor. I mean, think about what you like to taste. Think about what you like to eat. You know, when you look at descriptions in beer and wine, a lot of it all is broken down into, you know, there's apricot or there's strawberry or there's, you know, raspberry, there's peppercorn. When you look at all those descriptions, and especially, you know, in the judging of the beers today, when you look at what they're tasting, they're really breaking it down into things we already recognize. We already have a foundation of flavor with. And that, to me, is where when you look at beers and a chef and a brewer and how in which we start to look and think alike, especially when we can blend these two together. And if we can do this over and over again, I mean, the possibilities are endless.
You know, Sean, they're completely endless. And the greatest thing is, when you bring chefs into the brewery, not only, it's a sense of understanding. It's like, wow, so this is what goes into making a beer. And the love for beer and brewing multiplies. That makes me happy.
And it should make everybody happy, because here's the thing is that if we can make beers using some of these ingredients that we take, you know, as a standard flavoring in the kitchen and add them into our beers, it really makes a pairing that much easier. It's not forced. You can actually design. How many of you guys are home brewers out there?
That's amazing.
Perfect.
How
so when
you
think
at home, that makes me happy too.
And here's the thing is that we're the only species on this planet that actually cooks. Stop and think about that for a minute. It's something basic and simple. We have a gift. We can ferment, not accidentally finding some tree with some water and honey. I mean, we can actually create these flavors. And so when you stop and you think about the gift that we have, being able to cook and to be able to brew and fermentation and on the understanding of it, what it's endless. I mean, and this is what the more chefs start to realize these things. You know, Vinny Chilurzo from Russian River, he's doing a beer for Bouchon and the French Laundry called White Apron. I mean, the fact that one of the top 50 restaurants. Thank you, Matt Bonnie.
Are you getting heckled?
I tell you. But when you start to think about all these different flavors that come in and the whole understanding of, again, what we can do with these things, you know, are you guys enjoying this tart? I see some empty plates. And here's the thing. Designing this recipe around this beer wasn't that difficult. It's really understanding, like, hey, wait a minute here. This would go good with these things. And then kind of deconstructing it or redesigning it a little bit and tweaking it to make it work. And that's what's so fun. You know, this is why I write all the articles and all the recipes that I do for you guys, so that you guys can actually learn a lot more. And, you know, the stuff I put on Twitter and Facebook, so that you guys can get inspired, hopefully. And that's what's great. I mean,
Sean, I think you actually hit on a huge point, is that this is an easy recipe. There's no reason why everyone can't take this recipe and do it at home with whatever saison you have around, you know, because truly, absolutely, it's going to turn out delicious. And that's part of the fun thing is, you know, it's baking with beer, which I think is totally
baking
different
from
what most people do.
Well, and again, it's like really, when you think about the flavors that beer brings, if you go to your spice cabinet, you go to your pantry, you go to the grocery store, you go to a gourmet market, okay? When you go to those places, you will never be able to recreate, I don't care what ingredients and how much you paid for them, you'll never get the same flavor as a bottle of beer. And it can be any bottle of beer. It could be a sour, malty, bitter, one of those great double IPAs. But it's all understanding how to cook with it. And that's what's so much fun in this whole process, as we really try to re-educate ourselves about food and flavors, and not just, is it easy and can you open it and, you know, microwave it. It's really getting back into the kitchen and enjoying it. I mean, we had so much fun today just prepping in the kitchen. I mean, that's part of, you know, the joy and love of cooking.
Sure.
You know, and again, it's just really bringing it all back together when you have friends, family, different holidays, celebrations. If you guys can share your passion with your family, it's pretty cool. And even if you share it with people you don't always like, it's kind of cool to see their expressions. So one of our other dishes I'm going to kind of show you how to make, because this one, since we don't have an oven on stage, I didn't make it on stage, but it is really a very easy recipe to make. And I wanted you guys to have huge success with a recipe. The second one, it's actually a very easy recipe to do. Jared, you want to talk about the beer that you brewed for the second course?
Yeah. You know, the second beer, it's definitely out there. It's fun. And, you know, I was talking about layers of flavor earlier, and I think the second one really encompasses that. The base beer is an American stout. And then what we did is we wanted to really have a beer that dances on your palate. So we started with some Szechuan peppercorn. So if anyone, who here's messed around with Szechuan peppercorn before? What does it do?
Oh, yes. It is dangerous in large doses. It is. Absolutely.
Isn't everything dangerous in large doses?
Especially the Szechuan peppercorn.
Woo!
We thought it needed a little bit of backbone, so we used some Ugandan French roast coffee as well. And the thing is, we wanted to lighten it up. You know, we didn't want all muscle, so we used some orange peel. And then we finished it off with Tahitian vanilla to kind of balance everything out. So we wanted it to be big, bold, and flavorful. And we wanted this to go with some meat. We thought that this would be a perfect beer to braise short ribs in.
The more we talked about the nuances of this beer, because I still remember the first time I tried the second beer that's just being passed out now, is that this beer has so many layers of complexity. And the way the palate kind of interprets all these different flavors, to me, I get a lot of chocolate, coffee. I get the mandarin orange to kind of almost cleanse the palate. And then in the very back in the finish is really the Szechuan, which kind of does a little bit of that numbing. And the more I thought about a nice fatty piece of short rib and that really decadence, because, you know, short ribs to me, especially being fall is just around the corner, and then winter, to really think about those flavors in fall. And this is a meal that you can make very easily. And what we're going to do is just show it to you real quick. So this is basically a flour mixed with cinnamon, a little bit of Szechuan peppercorn to reinforce that flavor that's also in the beer. And this is when you cook with beer, think about what flavors you're already tasting. And in that, you can actually reinforce them because you're going to cook them a different way. Chef Paul Prudhomme taught me a whole bunch of different things when it comes to spices and layering those spices in. And the fact that Jared was able to do this in the brew, I wanted to really recreate the same technique in the food. So what we did is we mixed this all together with a little bit of salt, and we cubed up our short ribs, but you can keep them whole. And basically all you want to do is coat them, because this is going to give a little bit of flour to actually use as a thickening agent, as well as a nice crust. We have a nice hot pan here, and we're just going to brown them up a little bit. And then all we're going to basically do is add in our root vegetables, some onions, some leeks, some carrots, some... What else are we putting there? Onions, leeks, carrots, and then some vanilla beans, some...
Mushrooms.
Star anise.
Mushrooms as well.
And some shiitake mushrooms for a little bit of umami. And if you think about it, wow, shiitake mushrooms and vanilla beans. Well, they both kind of have that same umami character. And with the roasted beer, especially a porter or a stout, I'm always amazed at the flavors and how that works with mushrooms. But I didn't really want to do too much mushroom, just enough to balance it out. And then to be able to do this where you're going to braise it for 3-4 hours in your oven. And this is a perfect Sunday dinner. I mean, this is what's so much fun for me is that this is just one of those dishes that you'll have that you're kind of like, wow, this is really fun, especially with family, your friends, your loved ones. And this is also when it's raining outside, this is a dish you might start to crave. And I really wanted to showcase if this actually was working. There we go. And really showcase the possibilities of how easy something that takes a long time to make, but how easy it is to actually make. So again, this recipe will be available to you as a hard copy as well as online. And basically what we're going to do is just brown this up, then we're going to add the root vegetables and a little bit of spices, and then we actually added a little bit of the mandarin orange peel, again, to reinforce the flavors that are already in the beer. Because if you think about it, if you just use orange or mandarin orange, whatever it is, just once, and you're able to put it in 2 or 3 different ways, you're actually going to get a lot more flavor and complexity. And that's kind of why I wanted to make this where it's rich, it's tender, it's succulent. To kind of play up the Asian theme, we did some rice noodles where all we did is we squeezed some mandarin orange juice on it just to reinforce it again. And then we just took the sauce, the vegetables, pureed it, and made it into a sauce. So it's really not that hard, and you guys should have very good success with this.
You know, Sean, for me, this dish and this beer is fall.
It's
putting on a sweater, you know, time to put on the corduroys, having a beer with a little more complexity, having something with a little more depth, and short ribs. Short ribs and root vegetables. These are all things you can get at your farmer's market.
Yes.
in the same time, like, taking advantage of what you can get local, whether it's a local spice market, you know.
And also getting to know your butcher.
Incredibly important. Getting to know your farmers, getting to know your butchers, you're going to get the best product always. I cannot stress that enough. And let me just tell you, all the brewers out here, the barter system is amazing.
I bring my farmers beer almost every week, and they can't wait for me to show up. It's the coolest thing ever. Plus, too, it's kind of fun because I have a few of my farmers who really grow some really interesting stuff. And the more I talk to them and the more I get to know them and say, hey, wait a minute, can you grow this for me? Sure, not a problem. You've already kind of bribed them with beer. Guess what? That intoxicating property, it works to your advantage.
It's powerful.
Same with your butcher. I mean, I have a great relationship with my butcher because I'm always asking for the crazy stuff. Hey, you got any Kobe beef tongue or frog's legs or rabbit ears around? And it's fun because that's actually where you kind of get to have a relationship outside of just something simple. And again, this is where what your flavors, what your palate, your ethnic diversity, you know, your ancestry, all these different things can actually work in. And if you start to look at some of the ethnic diversity of the beers and the food, they actually pair really, really well together. And this is, again, a great way to start thinking about, you know, in the middle of winter, you don't really want a Hefeweizen. You don't really want a Pilsner. You don't really want a Berliner Weiss. You know, the stouts, the porters, the Maibocks, the Doppelbocks, you know, those beers to me where they're a little richer, a little bit more full body. You know, they kind of satisfy the soul in a unique way.
No, Sean, you're absolutely right. I know it doesn't matter what city you're from, chefs cook seasonally. And the thing about brewers more and more now is brewers brew seasonally as well. You're not going to get a Kolsch beer in December, or you shouldn't, you know. As the seasons change, the chefs change the menu. And same thing with the brewers now, which is refreshing.
Again, another similarity. I mean, I'm always amazed that this is one thing, too, when you go to your farmers' markets. Our standard markets today have actually done a disservice to us. Because the thing is that we can get strawberries and cantaloupe and grapes year-round. But those aren't really meant to be eaten year-round. Because actually, if you try a strawberry in the dead of winter, does it really taste like a strawberry in the middle of summer? I mean, those first ones you get in the spring, God, it's like an orgasm. When they hit your mouth,
it is indeed,
like,
actually,
this is insane. But that's what's so great when it's so wonderful and rich and flavorful versus, hey, wait a minute here. When you go to your, you know, grocery store in the middle of winter and it's like, wait, this came from Argentina. This came from Chile. You know, we don't even know what went on it or what didn't go on it. And again, this is where that understanding of what's in season actually tends to pair really well together. When you start looking at what's up and coming, your acorn squash, your kombucha squash, all these different squashes, tangerines, you know, pomegranates, all that stuff, the kales, the chards, they all work really, really well together. Mother Nature's done all the work. They grow them all together. They make them all work together. Don't fight it by doing something different and saying, hey, I need to add some watermelon to this in December. And this is where not only the food, but also the beers, when you look at it like, you know, hey, wait a minute here. There's a reason why I want, you know, a rich barley wine. Or like, just like the beer that we're serving with the short ribs. You guys enjoying the short ribs? You guys like that? And this is what's fun for me is that you look at short ribs, right? You don't really want to eat these in the middle of summer. I mean, you might, but it's not always the best because they're kind of heavy. And if you balance this out with other things, again, it brings a whole nother level of appreciation to the season and the flavors. And I really think, too, that the pairing with the short ribs, again, really works really fun because it brings out those flavors in the dish. And that's where I think, you know, working with your brewer, or if you are a home brewer, to really design beers. I mean, how many of you guys actually brew beers for occasions? Because, I mean, I look at, like, I mean, I made 8 beers for my own wedding, and my family was like, you did what? I'm like, but hey, each one of these beers has a story with my relationship with my wife. And I really wanted everybody to have that. Just like, you know, if you have an event or, you know, Thanksgiving's coming up, brew a beer for your family for Thanksgiving and enjoy it. You know, appreciate the complexity that, you know, the time and energy that you went into it, and then share those flavors and that story with your family. So that's always what I think is really neat, because again, this is an art and a gift that no other creature on this planet gets to do except us. And why take it for granted? So I don't know about you guys, but I love to eat. I love to drink.
I also love
to eat.
That's
why we're here, right? Good. Right on, guys. We're about out of time, sadly. But I know we still have some stuff being passed out. I know we have some little bit more. So if you didn't get any of the dishes, please stick around. We're going to have some stuff for you. Really appreciate you guys coming
out
today.
Thank you so much. Yeah, really, really appreciate it. Cheers.
Cheers to everybody. Cheers. Happy GABF 2010, and enjoy your stay.
And let's have a great big hand and a thank you for Sean Paxton and Jared Rubin. And for the students who are helping to serve tonight from the Culinary Arts Program at Johnson & Wales, our AV artists, and you ladies and gentlemen for coming. Podcasts of these presentations are available at craftbeer.com, so if you want to catch up on them again, go there and you'll be able to find them. Have a great day, great night.
Take care, guys.